This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Spotlight on eWomen, the place for everything eWomen Network. Entrepreneur, enterprising, enlightening, and exciting. Please welcome your eWomen host, Phyllis Smith.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight on eWomen Network. I'm Phyllis Smith. So we just finished our amazing international conference and business expo, and I'm here to tell you that many lives were changed at that event. I mean, the conference is really a holistic approach to business and life, with speakers like billionaire Hiram Smith, the co-founder and former CEO of Franklin Covey, who invented the Franklin Planner, which you are most likely familiar with if you spend any time in corporate America, to health and wellness expert Robert Ferguson, who is the personal health trainer to many celebrities, including Chaka Khan, Tony Braxton, and Daniel Baldwin. And then there's Sandra Yancey, the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. Sandra's many messages around having a fulfilling life include not only business, but self-care. And whether she's on stage or laser coaching in the middle of a room filled with 1,000 people, the audience is glued to her every word. Lots of tears and laughter transpire, but mostly lots of transformation is taking place before our eyes. But, and here is the big but, if your transformation ends in that room, then what's the point? If you are at the conference and you met some other people who would be a great fit for you and your business, but you don't follow up, what's the point? So as Sandra says, your future and your fortune is in your follow-up. So whether or not you attended the eWomen Network Conference or plan on or have recently attended another networking event, or even if you're working on closing a deal, you need to pay close attention to my guest today. It is, of course, the amazing Sandra Yancey herself. And she's here to make sure that your transformation continues and you achieve your greatest potential in business and life. Welcome, Sandra.
It's great to be here with you, Phyllis. Thank you.
I know you've walked far down the hall to to do this with
working
me.
Working on getting all my steps in, you know?
Well, I love having you here. So first of all, would you say one of the biggest mistakes entrepreneurs make is that they fail to follow up?
It's a critical mistake. It's one of the most important things that you can do. I think it's almost as important as, you know, meeting someone for the first time, because to your point, what's the point if you're not taking it to the next level? So for me, you know, what I can tell you is, you know, I have this saying that says, you know, you can actually go the extra mile and not have to travel nearly that far by doing just a few things that most people have the intentions of doing. It's just that very few actually do them. And having a strategic approach to following up, I think, is one of them.
Why do you think they don't follow up, though? What do you think the issue is?
Well, I think it goes back to just trying to be the Jill of all trades. You know, they're most entrepreneurs are, you know, say they are the CEO, the chief executive officer, but they function more like the COE, the chief of everything. And so without the proper infrastructure in place, they leave, they go to a networking event or to a conference, and they come back to a pile of distractions, a pile of things that really don't move their business forward. They are the busyness of business. Mm-hmm. And I think it's absolutely essential for all entrepreneurs. I know it's been a huge lesson for me. Wish I had learned it earlier, that you've got to get out of the busyness so that you can focus on the things that only you can do. And the truth of the matter is, you can't delegate an appropriate follow-up. I mean, yes, you can put it into, you know, one of these, you know, customer management systems and send out a canned thing. But what I'm here to tell you is, it's actually easier. And for me, I'll speak for myself and say, way more fulfilling when I personally do my follow-up. Because it really isn't about, you know, she who collects the most cards wins and building a list. To me, you can make a lot more money, millions of dollars, not focusing so much on list building, but focusing on lust building, right? How do you get people to crave wanting to be in connection with you? And that's because you're not treating them like an anonymous list of email addresses. You're treating them like a person. And a real good strategy for following up is really focusing on being personal with someone and recalling a conversation and inviting to take that conversation to the next step. And then attaching, if it's email, attaching a, you know, what I would call a, you know, a link or an article or a blog, something of interest that you spoke about to let them know you went the next step further than the typical kind of canned follow-up email.
Right. And actually, as you're talking, I realize the follow-up is really starts at the event.
Totally. It's your follow-up, the effectiveness of your follow-up, to your point, Phyllis, is predetermined or predisposed to how you manage the initial conversation. And that's why it's so important to really get focused on, when you meet someone, how is it that you learn as much as you can about them, being what I call other-focused versus self-focused. My mother used to say, and I'm sure somebody else coined it, she heard it and repeated it to me a lot as a little girl, you'll get more people, Sandra, as friends, being interested in them than trying to get them interested in you. And I think that so many people go to networking events with this, let me tell you all about me, let me tell you about what I do, let me tell you about how great I am, let me tell you about how I can help you, let me tell you how I can sell you my product and service. And I understand that that is the ultimate intention. But to me, people have to know you, like you, and trust you. Mm-hmm. And people, and everybody says that, know, like, and trust, know, like, and trust. But very few people really stop and think about what that means. So there's that first, let me just introduce myself to you. Let me find out about you, talk about what your, who your ideal client is, what your biggest challenge is, right? So I'm learning about you. Now I know who you are. Now, to like you, I take that step further. It was a joy getting a chance to connect with you. And I was fascinated by our conversation. And I paid particular interest to you talking about what your biggest business challenge is. And I came across this blog or this article or this book. And it reminded me of our conversation. I just felt compelled to reach out to you and to share this with you. And I would love to continue our conversation. You know, that whole personalization makes that other person feel like they were in the spotlight and you've just validated it. Who isn't going to like moving that know, like, and trust? Who isn't going to like feeling that kind of response, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now you can move into that trust level where you move to that next step. And relationships take time. And I think sometimes we just want to hurry it, and you can't artificially hurry a great relationship.
And so you're talking, actually what you've just done is laid out that first email,
right?
That first contact. So
exactly.
I was going to ask you, so when you get home, you know, you've been through the event, or let's say you've just met with, you know, a potential client.
Yes.
You come home. And so what you just outlined, it sounds to me, is that first connection is
totally.
To create that know, like, and trust. And it sounds to me, when you create the like, that kind of bleeds into the trust. It's
totally.
Like people feel like you were listening.
Exactly. They feel affirmed. They feel like you made it about them. It wasn't about you. It wasn't about your sale. It was about serving and helping them. And that's what real great networking, I find, is all about. I mean, I've built a multi-million-dollar global business by slowing down, right? And I have a huge database today, but I've also been in business for 16 years,
yeah.
right? And what I can tell you is there's nothing more powerful than you building a relationship with someone and then them wanting to tell everybody that they know, their database, if you will, about you. The exponential growth of that, I think, is so much more powerful, and I think pays way more dividends over the long term than a lot of these campaigns just to get a whole bunch of people to like you. It's artificial.
One of the things, you know, I bear witness to this actually for the last 4 years at
right.
these conferences, mm-hmm. where, as I said earlier, that people are getting up in front of just about 1,000 people or so,
right.
and they are, you know, we have these goddess cards
mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
that trigger these emotions, because these cards sort of they are goddess that guide you and might have just a word, like it might be fertility, it might be strength, and it speaks to these to these women, and they're open to it. And then they sort of pour their heart out, and they're weeping, and there's this, you see, we witness this transformation take place. It's mm-hmm. really quite phenomenal, because as I said earlier, this is a very holistic approach to being a business. It's business, right. And it's life. It's very personal as well. So those people who experience that kind of personal transformation, how do you recommend, what do you say to them to continue that transformation, that it doesn't end outside of that ballroom?
Well, I think where the real ahas, which are so emotionally striking, is that in business, we've been so programmed to, you know, operate with our brain, with our mind, and there's some tremendous value in that, and I lead with that clearly, naturally. I've had to learn to develop listening to my heart, because it wasn't, you know, my orientation. It wasn't how I was raised. It also wasn't how I was educated. And so, but what I did learn over time is that your heart has a language that your mind doesn't understand. And your mind sometimes screams at you and your heart whispers. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you got to, like, be quiet to really hear it. They both are equally of value, of equal importance, but they have different communication languages and styles, and learning how to cue in. The other thing is, Phyllis, is that I believe that as business people, I saw the sea of hands raised on how many of you set intentions, how many of you came to this conference very clear with what you need to achieve. And the sea of hands went up, and we've been trained to do that, be intentional, know in advance, know what you want, and all of that. And that's important, but what I can tell you is, from my own personal experience, my greatest breakthroughs, which is translated to the greatest of business opportunities, which is translated to millions of dollars, is all those things that were in my blind spot that I couldn't see, that I didn't have the capability of setting intentions on, because they were unavailable for me to understand was even an opportunity for me. Mm-hmm. And as an entrepreneur, I think it's really essential for us to, you know, I always say, hold on to your intentions, right? But don't have such a tight grip on it that your hands aren't also open to catch your next blessing, because it could be from, you know, your blind spot. And what we do with those goddess cards is we get really clear on what it is. We pay attention to what it is you know that you want, you believe that you want, right? But then also allowing yourself to perhaps experience, you know, what is in your blind spot by receiving a message. And only you can determine whether that is something that you can say, oh, I was supposed to meet that, or I don't know why I got this card, and trusting that maybe you were supposed to receive that card because it's in your blind spot, it's in your unknown zone, not just your uncomfortable zone, which is the things you think you need to know but you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. But your unknown zone. And I think that sometimes is where the magic of life and the greatest business opportunities and personal transformation occur. I've learned to understand that and to experience it for myself. And it's exciting for me to give the window. And I think it's because it's so unknown to them when they receive it, it's like, wow, it really strikes them in a way that is pretty compelling. And, you know, you could get a card like fertility, and most of us would leap to, it's about having a baby. But the truth of the matter is, it's about giving birth to an idea or to a dream or to that next stage of growth, right, that you've been wanting but are maybe have been hesitant towards really stepping into. So it's how you interpret the messages that I think can be truly, I think, the most pivotal part of cracking open a brand new opportunity.
What do you think at the conference, and this one in particular, maybe you see a trend in mm-hmm. all the conferences. Mm-hmm. Is there one kind of big aha that takes place at these conferences, sort of a similar theme that runs through the attendees mm-hmm. that crops up every year, for example?
I think it's declaration. I think it's declaring. I think a lot of us have dreams and we talk about it, but we don't declare it with the confidence and the conviction, right? We're a little hesitant because we don't believe we have all the competence. But competence will come along, and competence will never end. I mean, that's the whole notion of being a lifelong learner, right, is that you're always open to developing competence, right? And I believe that's the secret sauce. I mean, information and knowledge, people can grab that very easily today with all of the search engines. You just search something that you don't know, you can get information, you can become knowledgeable about a topic, but competence is the demonstration. And we often want competence to demonstrate that we can do it before we declare and make a quantum leap. And what I believe, Phyllis, is that you're more likely to develop the competence much more deliberately and intentionally once you declare first what you want to achieve, what your dream is, how you want to serve the world, your market, your customer, whether it be a product or service. You declare it with such conviction that then the universe almost conspires to introduce to you, you will see, all of the resources, the tool, the information, and the people to make it so. And people come feeling sure, but they leave declaring it as so.
Yeah. And I also found that sometimes people think they know.
Yes.
And then they realize it's a whole other thing that they need to be working on than what they think they need to be working on. Yeah. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to just kind of lay it out so someone gets home from an event like this and they have their first email. What are the next steps they take to follow up so that they can achieve their goals and achieve success in their intentions that they set for when they came to the conference?
Great.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen. Here's your host, Phyllis Smith.
Welcome back to Spotlight. I'm Phyllis Smith, and of course, I'm with Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. And we're talking about the fabulous follow-up, without which you have no fortune. Your future and your fortune is in your follow-up. Remember that. Future, those are good F words.
They are. My favorite F words.
Right. And as I indicated earlier, there are lots of transformations that take place at the conference. There's business and personal as well. So what I want you to do, if you would, is to lay out, okay, they've been through the conference. I imagine, first of all, timing is very important. You're coming off the conference, the week of the conference. Would you first say you got to start getting off your butt and making things happen that first week that you come back?
Yeah, for me, it's usually, particularly if I fly somewhere, I mean, I'm doing it on the plane on the way back. And I'm going to be honest with you. I know that everybody is so digital focused, and I value emails. But I will say, if you really want to stand out, you know, having some, you know, personal stationery for that. And I carry my stationery with me. I think you've seen my box of stationery. It's always in my bag. I always have the envelopes all ready with stamps on them, you know, and I'm just ready to go. I'm just really ready to go. And I like to drop just even a handwritten note, because I know that those things get opened. I mean, not everybody opens emails, but most people will know a card.
Yeah.
And they'll open it and often leave it on a desk, whereas an email gets buried. We'll often prop it up. We'll maybe even put it on a board, you know, as I want to follow up with this person. And I always, you know, I just really believe in stationery that has my name on it, you know, and I order it online. And so it's got Sandra Yancey on it. And I send just, you know, I'm on a plane back into Dallas, and I'm reflecting on some of the most interesting people that I met, you know, at the conference. And immediately you came to mind, and it compelled me right here on the plane to reach out to you, to just say that I appreciated meeting you. You're one of my top five people at the conference that I met, and I'm really looking forward to following up with you. And if that's all you say, and just drop it in the mail, literally when you get home, when you pull up into your driveway, just put it in your mailbox for the mailman to pick up the next day. You don't even have to go to the post office, is the interesting thing. That's the way I do it. I was just put my mail in the mailbox, and they pick it up the next day. Then you can always follow up with an email too, if you wanted to wait a couple of days. But I have a 5-step formula that I use. Of course, that's me, right? I'm a blueprint. I always have a system for everything. And so I always say, you know, pick your Fab Five, you know. Who were the five people? Not 10, not 15, not 20. That sounds arduous, but get really clear on who were the five people that you really connected with. These aren't all people, by the way, Phyllis, that you're going to sell to. Remember, you know, you developing relationships with people, it's not always about them buying your product or service. It's about they have good energy, good juju, I always like to say. You know, they are sharp. They ask great questions. They are a smart business person. These are people that you just want in your fold, on your A team, if you will. Maybe they have a competence. Maybe you're not really good at social media, but you met somebody that you love what they're doing, and now you've done a little homework, and you see, you know, how they connect with people. You feel like you've got a symbiotic rhythm going in terms of how they post and how you post, and you've had meaningful conversation. Maybe that's somebody you need to help you with your social media, you know, strategy and that kind of thing. Could be a bookkeeper, could be an accountant, right? Could be a web developer, could be a branding and marketing person. Not everybody needs to be a customer, right?
And or
a prospect.
I love that. I love that because that's what people think. Well, what can I get from this person?
Right.
Is this person going to serve me? But you're saying serving comes in bigger packages.
Totally.
And that is so crucial because for you to run a business, if your accounting is off, if your website needs a new design,
right,
that is all part of your business.
Oh my goodness.
And that relationship
think
is
about
critical.
What's the value of a customer? I could either go one off and try to get each person to be my customer, or I could meet somebody that could help me put together, for example, a website or a social media campaign or a branding and marketing strategy, whatever it is, that can get me access to hundreds of customers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about thinking about the bigger picture.
Right.
So, you know, as you meet people, then what I like to do is in my follow-up, be it email or snail mail, which I think snail mail, I'm just going to put it out there. I think it's one of the most effective things you can do. I love it. I try to send 10 cards out every single Monday. That's kind of my goal. Sometimes they're thank you, sometimes they're follow-up, sometimes they're reaching out, but I know how powerful they are when they stand
Does
out.
Does that mean like just regular, I mean,
yeah,
not even, just you're always every Monday
every
or
Monday.
Just after the conference?
I do it every Monday.
Every Monday.
Every Monday, because to me it's all about relationships. And that, you know, there's something really, can I just say, you know, when you're addressing someone's name, you know, and putting your own name in the upper left-hand corner, I mean, that's personal. That's your signature. That is as unique as you. If you lick the envelope, it's got your DNA,
yeah,
for crying out loud.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't get any more, you are
personal.
This important to me, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it works. I have a history of amazing relationships where this has worked.
Mm.
And then, you know, sometimes they don't follow up with you right away. I don't get my feelings hurt. You can follow up with an email then. But the point of the matter is you want to reference the event that you met them at and something about the conversation, right? That's why it's so important to use my X words. You know, give me, when you meet somebody, give me an example of your ideal customer, you know, or your ideal client. Explain to me what your biggest business challenge is. Expand with me on what it is you're trying to accomplish with your business. That explain, example, and expand are the signature X words that I use to this day, like clockwork. Just don't mess with the formula. You know what I mean? It just works. It creates meaningful conversation. Now you can mention something specific that was discussed. So you start out by "we met here," right? And then mention something specific that was discussed. And then suggest, step three is suggest a way to keep the conversation going, right? Move it to the next step. And then you close with a message, you know, with a suggestion for exactly what it is that you want to accomplish as that next step. And then you can always include it through email, like I said earlier, a link, an article, a blog, something that was of interest to the other person. Came across this, it just made me think of you, and it made me think of our conversation. Boy, you receive that, it's so much more personal, right?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't put in the subject "following up with you." I would put in the subject, "it was so great to be in conversation with you at." You know, you're in conversation, you're in communication, you're in relationship, right? And as opposed to "follow up," because that feels like it is, you know, I'm one.
Salesy.
Yeah, it does. It just feels so unoriginal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So uncreative. And I want to express, you know, a feeling in my language besides just following up. What I'm following up, why? Why are you following up? Because you felt in connection. You felt, you know, in relationship with that person.
What about those people who experience ahas, personal ahas and transformation? How do they go about continuing that transformation when they get home? This is what you're talking about is great for business and you know, moving your business forward. What about those people?
I think what's important is when you take that aha, you have to take a look when you get back in terms of how you spend your day. I mean, in the end, everybody gets 24 hours in a day. I mean, there's no one I know right now. And maybe there's a place on the planet, but no place that I know does anyone get a minute more or a minute less. And I always look at not just the super successful, but the super happy, because to me, it's not okay to be successful and not be happy. And you have to work at them both, you know, kind of at the same time, right? They are two tracks that run parallel that require you to pay attention to both of them. It's kind of like, you know, when you're driving down a street, you're not only driving down one way, but you're making sure that the other person isn't going left of center. You're watching the other lane too. So it's about, you know, making sure that you're getting to your desired destination in the safest way possible that brings you joy. And so for me, you know, I just think it's really about getting crystal clear on how you spend your day and that you're not doing things that aren't driving the new aha, the transformation, the breakthrough. And, you know, looking at, you know, how do I do ditch and delegate? What is it that I'm going to do that's going to drive me on path to the things that I say matter to me? You know, what am I going to ditch? What are the things that I'm going to stop doing that are no longer serving me well? And then delegate, you know, what continues to need to be done, but I don't need to do it, so that you can get out of the busyness and really focus on that, which is going to bring you the ultimate joy and the ultimate definition of success. Right?
Yeah. And your mission is 1 million
fulfilled women making $1 million. It's not okay just to be making $1 million. I unfortunately know a lot of women who are, you know, making a lot of money, would be defined as very wealthy, but aren't happy. They're not able to hold on to, they want a relationship with a partner. Not everybody does, and that's okay. But for the ones that do, I know they really often struggle, you know, finding that relationship, keeping that relationship, working through that relationship. They struggle. They're overwhelmed with mommy guilt, you know, versus focusing on developing a great relationship with their children, using modeling how they want their children to go and live their dreams, et cetera. And so, you know, to me, it's not okay to have a great relationship with my business in terms of its success, but not a great relationship with my spouse, and then not a great relationship with my kids. Are they perfect all the time? Absolutely not. In fact, they're never really perfect. But, you know, the point of the matter is I just believe in balance. And I get real worried about the conversations about there not being a thing as balance. And I don't even like the word harmony. I want to believe in balance because, you know, what you think about is what you bring about. And if you believe in balance and you notice you're out of balance, bam, just like that, you'll say, "Woo, I'm out of balance and I need to make some adjustments here." Mm-hmm. And you immediately start to make some adjustments. Yeah. And that's not only with your business and your significant other, your partner, and your children, but it's also with yourself.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm just saying, coming out of the conference and then flying immediately to find the location for our platinum event in February in San Diego and visiting 3 different hotels and taking tours of the cities and finding the best restaurants so that I can, you know, really represent the event well as the marketing begins to approach right here in October, upcoming in October. You know, I'm tired. I'm on a different time zone. It's right off the heels of the conference. I'm out of balance. Mm. And so what I'm realizing is I've got to do some things for me. Right. And so I'm planning Thursday. You know, I've got 3 back-to-back things that I'm doing just to take care of myself starting at 3:30. Yes, I'm going to come in early in the morning. I'm excited about that, though. But I'm going to sneak out for a couple of hours and take care of me. I'm okay with that. That means that I'm going to come back the next day and end my Friday with a furious, you know, a verve for, you know, making sure that I accomplish everything that I want.
How do we know when we're out of balance?
You know it. Your heart tells you. You feel it. You know, that's why I'm saying you got to get quiet. Because if you listen to your heart will tell you in a minute, mm-hmm. you know, something's missing. And you feel it. It's like a little ping, right? Something's missing. And then you just, when you're quiet, you can say, "And what is that?" And you'll notice I'm needing to spend time with my girlfriends. I'm needing to spend time with my parents. I'm needing to spend time with my kids. I'm needing to spend time with my partner. I'm needing to love on them a little bit. I need mm-hmm. to love on me, or yeah. I need to love on my business. And it's about kind of ebb and flowing and weaving through all of that. If you get so tunneled vision, you'll miss a lot of life.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, when you're out of balance and you, like you're saying, you wake up feeling stressed or angry or you didn't sleep well or, you know, you just know and stop denying it and stop blaming everybody else for the way you're feeling, you know.
Overwhelm usually is an indication that something that needs to be tended to isn't being tended to. And that's why you feel overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And let us not just make it all singular about one thing and make sure that life is one of those things. I often think of, you know, people talk about juggling balls. That isn't the metaphor of life for me. The metaphor is a little bit more about the spinning the plates. You know, you spin something for a while, let it run on its own and go tend to something else. And then come back and give it a little push, you know, to get going and then start something else. And you don't have to be frantic doing that. You know, you will find your rhythm.
Yeah. And if you see those people who do spin plates on stage for entertainment, you see they're very calm.
Very calm.
They're very centered and they're very calm. And the plates are spinning and they're not getting hysterical.
Exactly.
they're very grounded.
Yes.
So, and this is the kind of thing you also teach in your SOAR program. You have a SOAR group coaching program and this holistic approach. This, I like to say that word and I really mean it, that we are whole people. You know, we're business, we're personal, we have all kinds of layers about us as human beings and that all need to be in balance. And that's the kind of thing you teach in your SOAR program.
I mean, one, it's all about the P's, right? It's all about, do you have the right people? Once you have the right people, are you focusing on the right priorities? And because we often focus so much about our business, why make you look at the plate, everything that's on your plate? What's really important to you? Are you taking care of those things too? Now let's come back and really create a product that, you know, has your voice, your message, right? The critical contribution that you want to make on the planet, your point of view, your narrative, if you will, right? And then you got to make sure you've got processes in place so that you can duplicate and repeat itself so you're not frantically doing the same thing over and over and over again and saying, "I've been through this before. What did I do the last time?" If you're asking yourself that question, "What did I do the last time I did this?" That's a process issue, right? And then ultimately, how are you measuring your results? How are you measuring performance? And that's not just about the income statement and the balance sheet and, you know, all of that. It's really about how are you really tracking? Do you have customer relation? Are your people really happy that you're working with? How are you leveraging that to get more clients and that kind of thing? So much easier, right, than always cold calling or doing ads to a bunch of strange people, you know, when you really tap into your warm market. And so many people don't do that. So, I believe all business, what I know is all business, all of your successes fall into those categories, and so do all of your mishaps and disappointments and frustrations.
Okay, very good. So we're going to take that and we're going to move on. We're going to follow up because our future and our fortune is in your follow-up. We'll follow up and listen to her, Sandra's six P's. Every one of those things is the secret sauce to your success. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks,
we'll see you in a little bit.
Okay.
Time's up for now. If you want more enlightening conversations that could change your life, visit EWNRadioNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.